Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Welcome, everyone. Hello, friends. I'm Rita Hucklane, your host for the next hour, and I thank you for joining me as we seek a deeper and more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Wow. Anyway, there's a lot going on in the world right now, so a lot of good things. It's not all bad. But I want to talk to you about a few things like that today. And anyway, may the good Lord richly bless our time together as we seek Him out. You know, seek and you will find, He says. So, I printed out this week. Those of you watching on Facebook can see it, but on the radio, it's an icon of Jesus. When he was being tempted by the devil in the desert. And I like it because I know that he defeated the devil. But what I like about it is I love sacred scripture. The Bible is super important to me. It has been my real strength and power in my life. And so, of course, I want to you know, share with you the simple things that I have learned throughout the ages. And in that story in the Bible where the evil one tempts Jesus, how does he fight that battle? How does he fight back? He quotes scripture at the devil. He fights him with scripture, because scripture is powerful. It's a mighty weapon when you use it the right way. It has so much power. It is God's word. God's word. It's not just some book that was put together by humans. It is powerful. And if you spend any time with it and study it, it really proves itself to be truth. It really does. And so I want to spend some time with scripture tonight and hopefully encourage you some. Basically, the reason why is because I have learned throughout my life in all of the different challenges that I've experienced, and believe you me, I have experienced many, some devastating, but the Lord always brought me through. He was always with me. Even though I didn't always know it, I knew it because Scripture says that He is, and I chose to believe that. And eventually, you come to see that, yes, He has been with us when we went through all these things. But right now, I was pondering things, and I think that the current political climate and all the unrest in the world is a diversion. Very serious, horrible diversion. But I think what is going on is these things have been crafted by the evil one to draw us our attention to the world and to all that's wrong and to all that seems hopeless, to all the things that anger us and frustrate us, and draw us away from the peace and the hope and the understanding that we Christians can have when we study God's word, when we participate with the sacraments at church, go to Mass, hear the word of God, enjoy each other's fellowship. those things are trying to draw, make us focus on everything that's wrong and everything that's bad. And this has been a problem in our world for quite a while now. And I'm just not that kind of person. The Lord has been very kind to me. I have, throughout my life, I had some problems when I was, probably like 20. I told you before, I dated this guy who was not good for me. And I picked him up one day, and we went to, he needed to go to Kmart to buy some boots. He needed some new boots. So we went in Kmart, and we went back there, and he's trying on boots and everything, and he found a pair that he liked, and he left his shoes there, and he starts walking towards the door. And of course, I was mortified, and I tried to stop him. I tried to stop him, but he wouldn't stop. He just acted like he was shopping and pretending that he was not stealing anything. And then we got to the door, and security descended upon us, and we were arrested. And so, you know, it was my first and only offense. So, of course, they gave me, you know, he was in trouble. But they believed me anyway, but I still had to do something because I didn't call them in the store. I just tried to work with him. But anyway, he put me on probation, and I had a probation officer, and I went and saw him. And he said, I can tell that you're not a troublemaker. He said, but you really have to be careful with the decisions that you're making, the choices that you're making. So he gave me a couple of books. And in those books, it talked about the power of our choices, the power of our beliefs and our mind to affect our everyday life. And I thank God for that experience because that set me on a path towards a deeper relationship with Jesus, towards a life that was mostly devoid of making stupid choices or just following my heart instead of thinking about things. And really, it set me on a path towards joy. And I came to know about Dr. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's books. Some of them are just flat out about joy, but it's about how you can think and depend on the Lord and have joy because you know that you're making decisions according to Scripture. Really powerful and uplifting, positive tools. And so I started continuing to study joy and how the Lord brings joy. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And a friend of mine said to me the other day, you know, you really are a pretty joyful person. And how did you end up like that? And I said, well, obviously the Holy Spirit has helped me, but I also have trained myself in joy. I have studied Scripture about joy. I read books about joy. And they aren't like fluff stuff. It doesn't mean that you don't have problems. It's how to have joy in the midst of the chaos and the horror. Because you have confidence in God. You know that He's there with you. And He does love you. He loves you. He created each one of us to be His children. Not just to be a thing sitting there on earth. We are His children. And He wants a relationship with us. So Scripture helps make that. But when Jesus defeated the evil one with Scripture, it sings songs to my soul because I know that it's true, that Scripture is powerful. And so today what I would really like to do with you, if you will please allow me to do that, the current political climate and all the unrest in the world is a diversion. It keeps us worried. keeps us focused on what's going on in the world and what's going, you know, these situations, and this person did that and that person did that, and I don't agree with this, and I don't, you know, and oh, you know, we might be on the verge of catastrophe. All of those things, we get focused on that and we lose perspective. We lose the perspective that God, even though at times it doesn't feel like it or look like he's in control, he doesn't let us get too far out of control before he steps in. He is still in charge of all these things. Jesus said, these things are going to happen. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't worry. I'm still in control, basically. But it chokes out God's voice when we focus too much on that. His voice that wants to comfort us, wants to encourage us, gets choked out. He also wants to help us have solutions for our everyday lives. And that gets choked out with all the worry and the focus on what's wrong. And so I would like very much to share with you some things that might encourage you to have more hope and not be so worried about things going on in your own life personally, as well as in the world. Okay. So, what I would like to share with you is this excerpts from this article, because they, you know, they had time to put it all together, which I didn't have. And it's 40, I'm not going to read all of them, 40 Bible verses about peace during war. Peace during war. Now, we do not have war technically on our land, but there is always a chance of terrorism or, you know, there's violence. There is violence, okay? And in a way, that's a kind of war. The types of war that are in Ukraine and in the Middle East and everything are not the kind of wars that we're dealing with specifically on our soil, but that doesn't mean we won't be. So, but I don't worry about that. I let the Lord take care of the things that I can't take care of. And I pray a lot, and I do what I can do in everyday life, which is part of that is encouraging you. And so I wanted to share with you these Bible verses about peace during war are also applicable to difficult times in our lives. The challenges, the heartbreaks, the sorrows, the, you know, the horrible things that can happen in life. It happens to everybody, all right? So, this article says, when we face challenges, especially during times of war or difficulties, it's crucial for us to remember where our peace originates. Now, if you're not a Christian or a believer, well, maybe you don't have that peace ever. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's very hard to have that peace. Because peace comes from God. Peace comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's real. It's real. And so if you don't have him, you face a much more difficult life when you see these things going on. And I want to encourage you, don't be hard-hearted or stubborn. When you hear the Lord calling your name, when something speaks to your heart and your soul, and it's like, oh no, I'm not going there. You know, no, please stay open. Stay open-hearted and open-mind, and just let it come, okay? But God is our ultimate source of peace, period, ultimate. He promises to be with us in our struggles. He offers guidance and comfort and protection. He really does. You just, you know, aren't always aware of it, but he does. He promises he will, and he will do it. This understanding of God as being our ultimate source of peace helps us have peace in the midst of turmoil. In the Bible passages that I'm going to share with you, we find comfort in the truth that we can rely on God. We can, regardless of our circumstances. So I'm going to read some of Bible promises, some of the promises from God, that if we meditate on them and we bring them with us every day into our world, they uplift us. They give us hope. And in that hope, we end up with peace. So the first one is Jesus speaks in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." His peace is very different than the peace we have in the world through man or humankind. Very different. It's a peace that's deep down inside that erupts in a flame of hope and peace in the midst of the worst circumstances. And so, in this particular scripture, Jesus comforts his disciples by offering them his peace. It's unlike anything in the world. Nothing in the world is like it. His peace settles our hearts and our minds and assures us that we need not fear. Now, fear is natural, and sometimes we can't avoid it. But as long as we remember, even in the midst of that fear, that he is with us, and we pray, he will comfort us. He will come and help us. The Holy Spirit will do that. And this peace is a gift that he gives us in the midst of chaos and horrible things that may be going on in the world or in our lives. And then we go into Philippians. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He's emphasizing, St. Paul is emphasizing, that God's peace surpasses anything that we can possibly understand. We don't know how it works, but it works. And it's God's peace that works, not human peace. It's a holy, divine, from God peace. And it safeguards our hearts and minds and keeps us focused on Jesus rather than on our circumstances or what's going on in the world that looks so hopeless. With God, there is always hope. During tumultuous times, we can lean into God's promises and find peace. You know, it's interesting because you can't, technically, you shouldn't just pick and choose verses out of the Bible, all right? Because you can go down the wrong road. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You pick those out to justify certain types of violence, and you're missing the big picture. But when it comes to God and to Jesus, what has been said about them as far as their attributes and their character, you can memorize those verses and be encouraged, because this is truth. This is the one true God. This is the power of God himself encouraging us and giving us hope. This is him in sacred scripture. And it says right here, the peace of God transcends all our understanding, and it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This is different. It keeps us focused on Jesus rather than on what's going on in the world and the circumstances. We don't ignore them. We pray about them. In fact, a good Christian has the local newspaper or a newspaper with all the news or a news site that they check daily, and then they know how to pray. They don't get immersed in the negativity. They say, okay, this woman is, her child is missing. We've got to do something constructive. We've got to pray. And we, if we know anything about it, we help. You know, if we don't know anything about it, we pray. We pray our hearts out. The same kind of, we look at what's going on in the world and we pray. Or we contribute money to help solve the problem. Or we go there ourselves if we can and help. Okay? So I wanted to share with you a scripture from Isaiah 46. This is God speaking. I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is none like me. At the beginning, I declare the outcome. From of old, things not yet done. I say that my plan shall stand. I accomplish my every desire. Summon from the east a bird of prey. From a distant land, one to carry out my plan. Yes, I have spoken. I will accomplish it. I have planned it. I have said it. And I will do it. He is telling us here, I am God. There's no one else that's God. Not you, not anyone you know, not any false gods. I am God, and my word is what I have said, and I will do it. Okay? So we can trust his word. So, going back to our scriptures that encourage us during times of war or difficulties, Isaiah 26:3. I will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are set on me. I will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are set on me. He is telling us if we take our eyes off what's wrong in the world, entrust it to him, and pray and do what we can, he will give us peace. And I can tell you, it's true. It's true. We find comfort in these passages because as we steadfastly focus on God and his promises, his character, we will find calmness in these conflicts. Our trust connects us deeply with his peace. Okay. And it's interesting because Jesus said to St. Faustina, he said to her that what hurts him the most is our lack of trust in him. He has done everything. He has given his life. He has sacrificed himself. He has taken on our sin. He has suffered. Being God, he came here in order to take on our humanness so that he could heal us through his body. And he has given us the Holy Sacrament. He has given us the Holy Spirit His word, so that if we obey and we follow him, we live in a real, deep, profound relationship with him. So he told St. Faustina, though, it breaks his heart. Nothing hurts him more than our lack of trust in what he has said and done, and the way that he has given us to live, and in the church that he established, and the good that he has given us. That lack of trust breaks his heart. So when we lean on him and we believe his word and we trust his word because it's eternal, that makes him so happy. And it also frees him up to give us what he wants to give us to help heal. And then in Romans 15, the God of peace will be with you all. St. Paul says, the God of peace will be with you all. Paul concludes the letter of Romans with a powerful reminder of God's peace that is always with us. It reinforces that God's presence is our source of strength and tranquility, even during war and hardships. We can lean into that comfort of knowing He walks beside us. You know, when I read that, I was thinking about St. Gertrude Stein in World War II. She was a Carmelite nun who was eventually, she did everything that she could help do in World War II, she and her sisters, to help in any way that they could the humanity with their prayers and whatever they could do to serve them. She knew the reality of the horrors of what were going on with the Nazis in World War II. Yet she spent her days praying and serving people with her nuns. But she also was taken into custody and sent to Auschwitz along with her sister. You see, she was of Jewish lineage, and she had become Christian, become Catholic, and joined the Carmelite order. And being a Carmelite Christian did not save her from the concentration camps, nor her sister. So they were sent there. But she was canonized by St. John Paul II because of she was a witness to God's presence in a world where God was absent. And she spent her days in the concentration camp, helping children, helping the sick, doing everything she could. She brought love and peace and joy into that horrid situation. And John Paul called her a martyr for love, who gave her life for her friends and let no one surpass her in love. She loved so much. And so that's our job today, too. That's our job today, too, to love so much in the midst of horror. But I have to take a break, and I'll be back in a little bit. So please don't go away. God bless.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Rita Hauck-Lane, your host for this next half hour here on In His Sign Catholic Network. In the last half hour, I was here as well, and I've been sharing encouraging scriptures out of the Bible with you that help during times of war or conflict or just the tough times in life, because God's Word is powerful. Those of us who have had years of experience with it and applied it to our lives can tell you it is truth. It is extremely powerful. And so I wanted to share with you some of them so that you could be encouraged to maybe take your, during Lent especially, take your eyes off of all the horror that you see on social media and in the political sphere and around the world. It's okay to know what's going on, but not to just wallow in it. To keep our perspectives by focusing on God's word and his promises and how he has come through for us in the past. One of the big, 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 big things in scripture is to remember. The Lord reminds his people and reminds us always, remember what I have done for you in the past. Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I heard this Jewish saying years ago and has resonated with me ever since, and I try to keep it in my heart always because it is truth. And what that saying is to remember is to live, to forget is to die. And that is remembering our history, remembering the people in our lives, remembering the word of God, remembering salvation history, what God has done all throughout history for his people and for us, and how he's always come through. If we remember those things, we will live. We will have hope. We will work towards, we will cooperate with him toward working towards peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Hello, you know? So I'm trying to encourage you because the world wants you to focus on it. The evil one wants you to focus on what's wrong and everything that looks hopeless. I'll share with you something because these things happened to me to share with you. I was having a very serious problem. Extremely serious, so devastating that I had almost lost my hope, almost, not quite. And I had gone to Mass. I'm telling you, go to church, go to Mass. Massive healing happens in church. Massive. You might not be aware of it, and other times you'll know it, because a word will be spoken that you will hear that helps heal your heart. A friend may offer you to help you with something to heal your situation. There's always healing going on in God's church. All right, I was in there praying, and right after I had communion, the Holy Eucharist, I was kneeling and I was thanking God and praying, and I was so distraught. But I heard a sweet little voice, and I know with all my heart that it was Our Lady. It was Jesus' mom talking to me, because she's our mom too. Out of the blue, she said, "Do not fret, my daughter. There is always hope." Do not, and I say that to you, because she gave that to me to comfort me, and it did. And I would never speak like that. So I knew it was her. I knew it. And I received it, and I believed it. So I'm saying to you, do not fret. I'm saying it like her. She would say it to you. Do not fret, my daughters and sons. Do not fret, my daughters and sons. There is always hope. Always. And sure enough, she was right. The situation was difficult, but it worked out in a very grace-filled way. See, when you believe and you trust, no matter what's going on, somehow, some way, that grace comes through. It comes through and it works in the situation. It does. It does. So anyway, before I keep going, I do want to remind you that on Sunday, April 26th from 1:30 to 5:30, we have our annual Wake Up America dinner for our network. at Malvern Retreat House, and there's a keynote address by Kathleen McCarthy. If you haven't heard her before, you better get there. You'll get to meet me and everyone else who's a broadcaster, the people that work behind the scenes that you don't ever get to see. There's a silent auction, beautiful things, that and drawings for raffle prizes. And yes, we ask for donations. There's speakers and events and of course, dinner. And it's $60 per person, $110 per couple. And then you can also get a table. And it's our one of two major fundraisers for the year. We depend on these fundraisers to be able to stay on the air. We do. So if you want to call our network here and speak to Maureen, you can get registered that way, or you can donate a basket for us to raffle off, or you can just make a donation, whatever. But I would love to meet you there and rejoice in this network together. So please try to come. It's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Okay. Then we have the Divine Mercy Retreat on April 10th through 12th at Malvern. It's a weekend retreat on all about Divine Mercy. And Kathleen will be there, and Bishop Esmilla will be there, and Father DeLacy, our buddy, will be there. And there's just, you know, there's food and everything. It's really fantastic. If you can go in person, go. It's worth it. Otherwise, you can attend virtually, and that you can find at malvernretreat.com. Click on calendar and scroll down till you get to that retreat and register there. Okay? So that's divinemercy.com. And then there's a Divine Mercy Family Healing Retreat with Kathleen and Father Esmilla and Father Christie and Father Okoroji in Piscataway, New Jersey. And it's a one-day retreat from 8 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon at Our Lady of Fatima Church. And you can find out more details about that at OLF, as in Frank, /event. OLF Parish /event. Trust me, if you need healing of mind, body, and or soul, go to that. You will not regret it. Okay, so let's get back to these scriptures that encourage us during difficult times, in war, in difficulties, in heartbreak, etc., etc. 2 Thessalonians, St. Paul says, "Now may the Lord of peace, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." St. Paul knows what he's talking about. The world was in not a good place at that time. Yet he called Jesus the Lord of peace. The Lord of peace, because he is the originator, the only real peace in the world comes through Jesus Christ. And so he is invoking the Lord to give peace at all times and in every way. And so that's what God wants to give us, the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, hope, etc. He wants to give those to us, but we have to accept them, and we have to agree to them. And so when we read these scriptures and ponder them, we can have that peace in every circumstance. And, you know, I was thinking, again, when I read this, I was thinking about my husband Joe's grandmother died in the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918, and left his father, without a mother. And it was very traumatic for his grandfather and his father, and the whole world, millions of people. The COVID epidemic was nothing compared to the horror that this 1918 Spanish flu did on the whole world. It was horrific. And Yet, if you read church history, Catholic nuns and priests and laity, common people, played a crucial role in combating the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. Sorry. They went door to door with food and meds and comfort for those who were afflicted. They did not think about themselves being infected. They did what they needed to do to serve the suffering people during that time. It was the Catholic priests and religious nuns and the Catholic people who were major, major servants in the midst of the war of the pandemic on humanity. And so, it's kind of funny. It kind of bothered me that the government would not let us go in and do that during our pandemic. I'm not sure how many laypersons would have volunteered to do that, but I think more than you imagine would have. And I know religious sisters would have, and the nuns, and also a lot of priests would have been in the trenches, but we weren't allowed to do that by the government. So, in times of trouble, our faith can come through, can give us real power, real courage, real hope to do what we need to do. Okay? And this article that I'm quoting from, again, Strength, talks about the power of prayer. During difficult times, prayer is an incredible source of strength and connection with God. We can pour out our hearts before Him and seek guidance, comfort, and peace, and He will give it. And peace during war or difficult times emphasizes the importance of talking to God in prayer and leaning on Him. The scriptures that we just talked about remind us through prayer that we invite His peace into our hearts and lives. And so, scripture in prayer has its role in finding our peace. And then in Philippians 4, this scripture we've heard a million times, but we really must embrace it at this time. Do not be, St. Paul, you got to understand, he wrote these letters in prison with his life on the line every single day in prison. And he was eventually beheaded because of his faith. And he says here to the church in the Philippian church and to us, do not be anxious about anything. About anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. By prayer and petition, asking, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Okay. So here we see again, no matter how bad situations get in our lives, personally or in the world, there are always things to be thankful for. Always things to be grateful for. And that helps us to find hope in the middle of the storms. And God appreciates it when we see the good, when we see what He has given us, and we're grateful for what we do have, and we focus on that as well as pray for and hope for help with the other things. So those are a few scriptures. There are so many more, but I don't have time to read all of them, because I really want to move on to a little bit. This is also how to respond to tragedies with hope. It's a different article. It is from It is from the Catholic Online News. It does not have a author, but it says, you know, in recent months, the world has witnessed a surge in tragic events, wars, natural disasters, violence, and suffering that seems to stretch across every corner of the globe. For Catholics, it can be difficult to process such devastation. We may even find ourselves asking, why does God allow such suffering? Or how can I hold on to hope when everything seems so dark? Yet our faith reminds us that even in the darkest of times, God's light continues to shine. We are called not to despair, but to trust in His divine providence, provision, and act as His hands and feet in a broken world. Act as His hands and feet in a broken world. And it says here, Christ's example, Jesus Himself was no stranger to suffering. From His humble birth in a manger to His brutal death on the cross, He experienced the full weight of human pain. Yet He did not run from suffering. He embraced it for the salvation of the world, out of love for us. His passion teaches us that suffering is not meaningless. Suffering is not meaningless. Even our suffering is not meaningless. God can bring immense good from even the worst of tragedies. As St. Paul reminds us, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purposes. While we may not always understand His ways, we can trust that He is always at work, even in the midst of chaos. So, and instead of allowing sorrow to paralyze us or to block out God's whispers to us and the truth that He wants us to embrace in these tough times, we Catholics and all Christians are called to respond with love, prayer, and service. And the author says there are three ways we can turn our faith into action during these troubling times. I have found that when I have a little depression going on or a little hopelessness going on, if I act in faith and in hope and reach out and do something constructive for someone else, or even if it's just I'm praying for these people so that they will receive something good, doing something for someone else is therapeutic. It's healing. That's why the Lord asks us to do these things, because He knows it's good for us, even when we don't feel like it. And maybe sometime when I have more time, I'll share with you something that I went through recently that really called me out to step out on faith and to do what I knew the Lord wanted me to do instead of giving in to despair. And believe me, it worked. So anyway, this author says, here's three ways: prayer and intercession. The most powerful response to tragedy is prayer. Prayer. Offer Mass intentions. Pray the rosary. Spend time in Eucharistic adoration, asking for God's mercy on those who are suffering. Pray for leaders and decision makers that they may act with wisdom and justice and, move away from conflict towards peace. Have openness to creating peace. The next thing is acts of charity. Jesus calls us to care for the least among us. Support relief organizations that are working in these war-torn areas or in the inner city or with diseases or Doctors Without Borders, those kind of, that are, you know, hands-on in the trenches that we can't be. I went to the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia in 2015, I think it was. I attended the whole week, the whole entire time. And one of the things that was told to us there is, if you cannot be in the trenches yourself, or only partly in some of the trenches, but not all of the trenches, you can support the ones who are in the trenches with your funds. With your funds. Donate to those organizations that are in the trenches. And Catholic Relief Services is one of the best. They are all around the world. They were absolutely essential in Mother Teresa's early days in India, helping supply medical supplies, things like that. So, you know, they provide aid to victims of disasters and conflicts. Samaritan's Purse is also, it's affiliated with Billy Graham's ministry. There's, you know, so many. So if you can't be there, donate. And if you can, even the smallest acts of kindness that you can offer in this suffering world will make a huge difference. Check on your neighbor. Donate some food. Writing letters of encouragement to somebody that's shut in. Work in a soup kitchen. Volunteer with the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's sisters. Volunteer with various other organizations. What is that? There's so many that are really in the trenches. Volunteer your time. Pray and trust the Lord and go. If you can. If you can't, again, send them a donation. Same thing here. You can send us a donation. We are proclaiming the Word of God around the world. Around the world. It is the hope of God that goes out from this network here. You know, and so please, you know, share that during this time. And then the last thing, you know, prayer and intercession was the first thing. Acts of charity is the second thing. And the third thing is spreading hope and encouragement. In a world overwhelmed with bad news, Catholics are called to be bearers of hope. We are the good news people. Share uplifting messages. Offer words of comfort. Remind others, remember, and remind others that God's love never fails. Never fails. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, my dear friend, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. We can all do small things with great love, and every little act of kindness and love is eternal. It is going into a heavenly bank of beauty that is eternal. It never dies. And so no tragedy, no war, no disaster is greater than God's love. Christ has already won the victory over sin and death, and his resurrection is proof that light will always overcome darkness. While we mourn for the brokenness in our world, we do so with hope, knowing that God is still in control. And keep our hopes and trust in him more than our leaders and politicians and armies, etc. Our hope is in God and what he can do. And Catholics, let us stand firm in faith, offer our prayers and sacrifices, and be a source of comfort to those who are suffering. Even in the face of tragedy, we are never alone. God walks with us, and his love endures forever. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you, even until the end of the age." Jesus said that. I am with you always. Let us be the hands of Christ in the world today. Let us pray, serve, and trust that his plan is unfolding. His plan is unfolding. He said it. These things will happen. But do not worry. Do not be surprised and do not worry. I have overcome all of this stuff. So don't be surprised. And last but not least, I want to share with you, this was an article that was from the Vatican News from a few years ago. But actually, I guess it was last year. But it was before Pope Francis passed. And it's Communicating Hope in a Time of Crisis, Reflection from the Holy Land. In a time when war, division, and suffering are sweeping across the Holy Land, Pope Francis's message for the 59th World Day of Social Communications celebrate this. I'm sharing this because it goes right along with what Pope Leo came out in, with his Lenten message about listening to each other, listening to God, and fasting from not only food and things like that, but also from words that are hurtful. He said, "Share with gentleness the hope that's in your hearts." The Pope's words echo with deep pastoral and prophetic meaning, inviting all Christians, not only those working in media, to reflect on how we use social communication. Is it a tool for peace or additional fuel for conflict? He invited us to be communicators of hope, rooted in Christ, the perfect communicator. He warns against communication that feeds fear, hate, or despair, rhetoric that dehumanizes and divides us. Hope is a risk that must be taken, he writes. It's a hidden virtue, tenacious and patient. Yet hope, he insists, must be communicated with truth, reverence, and compassion. What kind of communication do we practice, folks? Especially in social media, what kind of communication are we practicing? He likens the Christian communicator to one who sifts for gold among grains of sand. In land burdened with painful stories, communicators are called to tell stories of hope, not to beautify reality, but to reveal the beauty that dwells even in darkness. Pope Francis highlights three essential traits of Christian communication, inspired by the first letter of St. Peter. Choosing to seek goodness when it seems all lost through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We must be ready to explain the reason for our hope. Christ himself must speak with gentleness and respect, not aggression or fear. He offered the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus as a model of true communication. He begins first by listening. Then he walks alongside the disciples in their confusion and grief. He patiently hears their plan before kindly rekindling their hope. In the same way, we are called to journey with others, beginning not with words but with presence. By sharing stories of courage, mercy, and resilient faith, we do not shout hope into the world. We awaken it quietly through compassionate witness. Tell stories that uncover beauty and light in a world burdened by suffering, especially during a time of war and division. Be guided by love, transformed into words of instruments of healing. Transform our words into instruments of healing. Think about that every time you go to post something or every time you talk on the phone. Think about what were our words to be healing. I have to go. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Please pray for us. We're praying for you. And till next week, God bless you. Thanks so much. Take care.